You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
What's up, Vankaz?
Hello, Vankaz.
How is everybody doing?
How are you doing? Are you doing good? Because I'm doing good because there was so much coverage of Yuki Tsunoda in this race. Every time there was a moment where something wasn't going on, they were like, hey, let's cut to Yuki. And I know we were in Japan for that, and that's why they were doing it. But hey, it works. Let's keep it going through the rest of the season. When we're in Brazil, you know, I know Lewis is the honorary Brazilian, but like, let's just cut to Yuki, okay? Because Yuki Tsunoda getting his fucking due. Finally, for once in this fucking lifetime, we're not the only people on the top of the Yuki Mountain, dude.
I don't know. I was stressed the whole time. I was like, maybe put a little less coverage on him. I'm paying attention. I don't need everybody else to pay attention to him, you know?
I just had faith, dude. I was like, Yuki's gonna, it's gonna happen, dude.
Part of me was like, is he gonna podium? Is he gonna podium? Dude, when they said that there were so many events that I was stressed out about. There was, first he has a bad restart. Then there's an RP in the wall. I'm like, God. Oh God, it's Yuki.
Yeah.
It's Yuki. then Yuki was marked safe in the red flag incident.
Right.
It was Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah.
And then the restart happens, and then there's something wrong with his transponder. Did you see that? He drops down to 17th, and I'm like, oh God, here it is. Of course. I'm like my mother. I'm like, why does this always happen to me? Why does this always happen to me? My mother, whenever something happened to me, my mother would say, why does this always happen to me? And that was what I was doing watching you. But no, they're like, no, something, Yuki's fine. He's in his grid position. I was like, oh, thank God. But
you had that reaction. I had the reaction where I was like, what are they doing? He's in 10th.
Yeah.
I was yelling at the TV.
No, he lost two places. He lost two places. He was in 12th.
Yeah,
He lost two places.
But I was like, but wasn't that on the restart where he had a good restart? Or was that on the first?
No,
he had a bad start, I think. One.
Yes, and then maybe had a good restart.
He had a good second start. Because he's fucking Yuki Tsunoda, and it's the Japanese GP, and he got a point in his home GP. And that's what's most important. But before we get into the rest of this episode, we got to thank our daddies of the pod. We got to thank Kayla, Robin, Jordan Texera, Jay Lingle, Javier Mera, Sheila Valeri, Chandler, Luana Galbano, Ali Santana, Carla Huarlo, Kimberly Whalen, Alonso of My Face 69, Donya Denad, Jimmy, Stefano Dominicanti, Kimmy, sponsored by Mommy of the Pod, Hollister 584, Liv Lott, Cat, Future Dog Tour Dion, Steph Grossi, JB Fresh, Laura, Emily Gillenwater, Cody Hull is my F1 daddy, Branch W, Keep Up the Science Hate, Hunter Scruggs, Salmonella Mozzarella, I'm a LeClaire fan and yes it hurts, Jake S, Sig Malonso for president, George Russell is evil Peter Parker from Spider-Man 3, Matt Edwards is always right, I wish I was Max and Danny's love child, Delaney Andrews, Henry Kasky, Miles Lewis Alexander, the real Toto Wolf, Maggie B, Kelly Breyer, and Eve with a Y. Thank you, daddies. If you want to become a daddy of the pod, you go to patreon.com/trfpod and be a benefactor today. Also, speaking of what we're going to be talking about for this entire episode, but we're going to be talking about Yuki Tsunoda yesterday, but what we're going to be talking about on the Patreon this week is a Yuki Tsunoda deep dive, the full picture of the man, the myth, and literally the best driver on the Formula One grid, Yuki Tsunoda. So subscribe now. That episode will be coming out soon. Yuki Tsunoda deep dive, patreon.com/trfpod. Where should we begin with this race? Where do you want to start?
Qualifying, the week leading up to it, the Japanese fans. I love the Japanese fan. I love Japan.
I love the Japanese fans.
I love the Japanese fans. I love yes. Japan. I never want to leave this apartment ever. Right. And my apartment sucks, but I still prefer my shitty apartment. Subscribe to the Patreon, so maybe I could leave one day. Yeah. And I still prefer my, it's like, why go anywhere? But I see Japan. I'm like, I want to see, I've been to Europe a couple of times. I'm like, it's just more churches. This is where we used to keep the Jews. That's my, there's another church. This was a, this was a mosque, but then we got rid of the Muslims and now it's a church. But I see Japan. I'm like, in cherry blossom season, I want to go there. I want to go there. And the Japanese, I think, might just be the best fans in the world.
Yes.
They're so enthusiastic without being like toxic in any way.
Yes.
They're just what every fan should be. Just earnestly, I love this. I'm polite. I'm just bringing joy. I'm just bringing positive joy. There were Daniel Ricciardo fans there. There were Leclerc, you know, they weren't like where you go to Amsterdam, the Netherlands, right? Where they're all like Max, or they're all, you know, when you go to Mexico, it's all Checo. There was like, they had their, most were Yuki, but there was you saw a smattering of everything, and they had their amazing hats, and they just brought it. They brought the fucking energy.
Yeah.
One guy had a hat that said "Respect all drivers." I mean, the British fans like would never, right? They would never. Yeah. They're too cool. They're too buttoned up, and you know they don't want to. God forbid you try, right?
Right.
You know, British people want to take the piss out of people for trying. You know, with Miami and the fake marina, right? God forbid they tried something, right?
Japan
is the fake marina, right? They go for it, right? They fucking go for it, and I love it.
Yeah.
And it was just really amazing to see.
I mean, and the signs, how clever were the fucking signs? I mean, funny senses of humor. The signs were like so well done. I mean,
the arts and crafts. I also love that one guy, someone texted, I think Alex texted us, like one guy had the horrible Ferrari logo that looked like an ant. On a pizza slice. I was like, great. I'm glad that not all of these people are like amazing at arts and crafts, you know, because I was but I got to say, Japan, they're just the best at taking culture and just perfecting it. Fan culture, they're the best at. Car culture, they just take the, you know, it all goes back to like, because I started reading about Japan for our deep dive, right? You know, in the 4th century, they were going to China, learning about Confucianism, learning about Chinese poetry, taking it, refining it, perfecting it, right?
Yeah.
You know, the Meiji Restoration, where they were forced with gunboat diplomacy, they were forced to open up to the Western world. They were like, oh, fuck, we have to learn about industrialization, modern economy. They opened up and their economy is insane. Their business practices are insane. You know, in a good way, like they bring a whole different ethos to it. And and they do that same thing with fandom. They're like, how do we take this? Because they have an outsider's perspective. They look at something from the outside and they go, okay, the whole world's doing it this way. How do we on our own little island make it better? We'll take it and we'll make improvements because they're kind of like from the outside looking in. And it's just this amazing. That's just the way they are. It seems they are with everything, is that they're able to just like look at something and just take it from the 9 or the 8 to the 10 and like, oh, I'll take that and I'll leave the rest.
Right.
You know, oh, I'll take that enthusiasm, but I'll leave the toxicity at the door.
Yeah, you know? It was just so, every time they cut to the crowd, I was like, yes, like the red flag. When the red flag came, I was like, amazing. This will just be 25 minutes of crowd shots, which is like a joy.
Yes.
I mean, did you see the group of guys that were like dressed up like warriors in the Ferrari gear? Like, there was like five guys all fucking dressed up like warriors with a fucking
Ferrari
red
samurai.
Horse,
yeah.
The Ferrari samurai yes. with fucking horse heads on. I mean, there was the one guy who was like had the Red Bull garb and then like flipped it off and then had the fucking Aston garb. I was like, Silverstone would never, dude. Yeah. I mean, these, you know.
They had costume changes, they had quick changes.
Costume changes, quick changes, like
props.
Like a bride who wants a little bit too much attention. You know what I mean? Like this is kind of, this is, you know, there was the Oscar fly to the podium, Shogun Lando and Samurai Oscar. I mean, there was just like, there was so much joy. And then there was earnestness too. There was someone who just had a Checo, never give up, thumbs up. on a sign. I mean, there was just, it was amazing. I was like, I love the Japanese fan base. And there was, and not only is the fan base amazing, but they have fucking Yuki Tsunoda as their you know, representative. On
yeah,
track.
And there was the kid that was like skipping school. It was like, teacher, I'm skipping school. Sorry. I'm like, hey, maybe don't blow yourself up by going on TV, but don't make it hot. Although Japan, they do have like an absurd amount of school. I remember learning that. Mm-hmm. That was like the one thing we learned about Japan when I was in public school. They were like, they have 900 days of school. So shouldn't you feel lucky? And we're like,
Yeah. They're like, don't complain, aka shut the fuck up and don't complain about the hours that we.
They're in school like 362 days out of the year.
There was the one sign that said, Honda is my last name, but boy, do I love red flags. And I was like, oh, they're a fan of the pod. And then I was like, oh, no, they're talking about Charles and Carlos Sainz. But, you know, still nothing but respect. We got it. Like, that's – if we're going to go, you know, it's like now as we're like, oh, maybe we can go to more races. The one race I really want to fucking go to is Suzuka. I'm dying to go to fucking Suzuka.
I don't think the flight's so bad from L.A. either. Expense wise.
Yeah. We gotta fucking figure that out. That's
hey,
that's
any Japanese fans, if you have like one of those little cubicles that Brian and I could sleep in together, you know those rooms that are like like coffins. Brian and I will share a coffin.
We'll sleep in a cot while we're chilling.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? The way it's looking right now, Yuki Tsunoda is going to be in Formula One for a very fucking long time. So that's awesome.
I want to go off on this first. I said this already on Instagram and TikTok. Yuki Tsunoda, it's like, does he have a future in F1? Why does Alex Albon, like, oh, he's safe. He's considered one of the safe. Like, Albon is not in the bottom. If we're doing a Love Island, he's never in the bottom three. He's never like fucked at the fire pit. You're never worried about Alex Albon in the fire pit when all he's been doing is beating the two worst drivers on the grid consistently.
Right.
He beat Nicholas Latifi and he beat Logan Sargeant. Okay. Those are the only two guys he's beaten after being shit out of the Red Bull program for not being able to cut it. Okay.
Yeah.
It's harsh. Many people, it's happened to many people. You know, it's not to besmirch him, but that's what happened. Ever since he was shat out of the Red Bull program, all he's been managed to do is beat Logan Sargeant and Nicholas Latifi. But yet there's no skepticism about his driving ability. Whereas Yuki is now bodying Daniel Ricciardo, and he's still fucking fucked at the fire pit, it seems like. Lando Norris.
Mm-hmm.
When he came in, people were like, oh, he might be good. He's young. He's exciting. He did good in F2. He did good in F3.
Yes.
Didn't beat Sainz, right? Sainz came in, but they're like, okay, he's young. Sainz showed him up a bit, but he's young. We've got to give him some time. And then Lando beat Daniel Ricciardo. And everyone's like, oh, wait, Lando's the shit. That was when Lando made his star turn. That's when people were like, wait a minute, Lando might be at Verstappen level. He might be.
People
started throwing his name around because of what he did to Daniel Ricciardo.
Yes.
Because of that comparison. Is Daniel worse than he was at McLaren? Probably not. He's probably the same. So yes. Why can't Yuki get that same? Why can't Yuki be considered as good as Lando Norris?
These are the questions that we alone ask.
but literally,
yeah,
that was Lando's star-making performance. That was 100%. What was like? That was his. You know, Sydney Sweeney does Euphoria, or Jeremy Strong does Succession. It was, you know, yes. Okay, he's A-list now.
Right.
Where Yuki gets on Succession, Yuki does his guest spot, and nobody gives a shit, you know?
Except us, dude.
Except us. We're like, wait a minute, Yuki was on Euphoria, and he ate as well.
Yeah. No, 100%. And that, you know, it's a good point with regards to Albon as well, because like, you know, I've kind of drank the Kool-Aid. I've drank the Albon Kool-Aid, but then when I'm looking at what's going on with Williams, I'm like, oh yeah, this whole chassis thing that is plaguing them right now. Obviously it's James Vowles' fault, but also it's fucking Albon's fault because he destroyed the chassis. So then fucking Logan Sargeant is using this fucking Frankenstein chassis that they fucking put together with nuts and fucking bolts. And, you know, even though we can get into his crash and fucking, you know, P1.
Hey, James, FP1. Got some data for you.
Yeah.
If you only have two cars and you lose one, I'm not a math guy. But then all of a sudden you don't have enough cars.
Yeah.
You only, you know.
Yeah,
two minus one equals one.
One. Yeah, we're going to have one car.
But it's like inexcusable for either of those guys to fuck up in free practice like they have.
Yeah.
Alex, you know, Logan got a lot of stick for doing it. But Alex, I mean, it's.
Yeah.
I mean, they knew the situation. We're not the first ones to say this. They must have known that it's like, hey, guys, you don't have a chassis spare, so you guys can't be binning it, especially in free practice.
Right.
You know, it's one thing if you're, you know, pushing in adrenaline, but, you know, we talk about practice.
Yeah, we're talking
about not the game, not qualifying, not the race, practice. Yeah.
Practice. No, it's crazy. And... I mean, I also want to I want to cook a little bit more on fucking James Vowles because today
let me set a timer. I'm gonna take a
this
nap.
Pit stop, dude. This pit stop. If you're going to the Williams organization, if you're gonna be the organization that doesn't have the fucking system, right? You don't have the newest iPhone. You don't have the newest iOS. You're using Excel and not whatever is better than that in some whatever way. And you only have two fucking chassis, and you don't have the advantage that the other teams have. The things that you can control, you better be fucking on point of the shit that you can control. So, fucking, the rest of your organization should be fucking on point. And the main thing that you can control is the fucking pit stops. And you make sure your fucking pit crew is on point.
Brian, if you can't get your dick up, you better eat pussy. You better eat that pussy good. If your dick is not working, you better fucking worship that, you know. You better break your nose in that shit.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And until you pass the fuck out.
No, 100%, dude. I mean, there's more ways to get the fucking job done, and this is why it's fucking important. This is the moment where it's important, where Logan actually might get fucking points in this race. Yeah. And then five people go into the pits. I mean, who went into the pits? It was Sonoda, K-Mag. So it was Sonoda, K-Mag, Stroll, Bottas, and Sargeant. Five of them all go into the pits at once.
That was amazing. That was the best moment of the race.
It was fucking incredible. And, and we obviously know that Bottas, you know, whatever the fuck is going on over there, their pit stops are a fucking nightmare. That was never going to happen. But Haas has a slow pit stop. Yeah. Haas has a bad pit stop. And then it's like, oh, Sargeant, you can gain two places here.
Yeah.
But no, the Williams fucking organization with their two fucking chassis fuck up the pit stop. And you know who doesn't fuck up the pit stop? Yuki fucking Tsunoda and the V-Carb team. And all of a sudden, Yuki gains three places or something like that in that pit stop.
And I got to say, and then Yuki was like, I just want to thank everybody at the Academy. Thanks to the team.
Really.
I want to thank, you know, everybody at SAG. I'm Yuki Tsunoda. I'm running for Congress in the 12th district of whatever. I mean, he's like he's just a new Yuki. He's just like trying to be, you know. It's what was it? It was a long time ago that he tried to kill Daniel Ricciardo. That was ages ago.
That is in the rear view. We can't even see that shit anymore.
He's a whole new guy.
Yeah. No, but like that's a moment where it's just like, you know, these guys that pontificate about how to do the thing, they overpromise and they under fucking deliver. That's what, to me, that's kind of what that's the James Vowles vibe. And it's also the Toto vibe. It's just like, there's an overpromising, we do things the right way here. We do things the right, you know, we cross our T's and we dot our I's. It's like, no, actually, you fucking don't. You don't have enough cars. You don't have your drivers under the fucking, you know, right headspace because Sargent was carrying 5 kilometers per hour faster speed around those corners than he fucking should have been and bins it in fucking FP1. Albon bins it during fucking free practice as well, and you are fucked with chassis-wise. Like, you actually don't have...
Well, he was actually... people at Williams are grumbling because it's like, yeah, asshole, we know we don't have enough chat. Like, because there's a bit of... vibes around Vowles, like, I've inherited just such a Herculean task.
Yes,
like,
yes,
Williams
yes.
was when I got here, it's you know, I'm, you know, the dog whisperer here. I'm inheriting, you know, just this horrible situation. I'm Cesar Milan. And it's like, and I forgot who came out. I was like, we knew that XL, like, you think we didn't know that having everything on XL was bad?
Right.
Like,
right,
we knew. Yeah, it's just like, they just weren't allowed to spend the money on on the infrastructure without it eating into their cost cap. So it's like, these guys are very good at explaining the problems and sort of using business school speak on how they're going to attack things. You know, it's a lot of fucking sound and fury and signifying nothing. Just do the fucking work. Stop talking about the work. Just do the fucking work. You know, Komatsu, right? Komatsu, he was like, we're going to suck. This is going to be a disaster. We're going to be horrible. Like, and then, you know, and then they got their heads down and they're actually not so bad.
Right.
You know, they're not so bad. They're right around the same place as everybody else. You just do the work. Not fucking just do a media op every 30 seconds.
There was a world where Logan Sargeant scored points today. There was a world where that
could happen. if he had kept it on the track.
Well, no, once that happened, like, he was already out by that point. I'm saying that if they had, you know, nailed that pit stop, he would have come out ahead. He would have been in Yuki's position. He would have been in Yuki's position.
Under more pressure.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, well, obviously, Logan's... listen, I'm not fucking putting my mortgage on that, but fucking Logan Sargeant, you know. There's just a world where the team... ultimately, it was... he failed the team, and then the team failed
him.
And that's what fucking happened.
And it's a bit of karma. It's a bit of karma, honestly, for them, with this whole chassis thing. It's like, well, we got to do the smart move. And it's like, well, you know, now Logan's been the car, and Alex has been the car. It's a bit of karma.
Well, now Logan's taking extra speed because he has a point to prove. And he's
crying. Yeah, he's like, I'll show you that you're absolutely right in your decision.
Yeah.
To...
yeah, I mean, kids, I think the kids got to go. You know what else? You know what other team is absolutely atrocious?
Sauber?
I mean, I think Alpine the worst car on this fucking grid?
Obviously.
I mean, it seemed like every time this, like, I saw an Alpine on screen today, it was getting passed. I mean, it was like every time it was getting fucking passed.
You know what was the most, you know, I it's a slow car. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's the slowest car on the grid. It's a manufacturer, which is just atrocious.
Yeah.
it's a manufacturer which is at the back of the grid, right?
Yeah.
It's the second worst manufacturer. It's the worst manufacturer. The second worst manufacturer is Mercedes, actually, which is now just solidly a midfield team. But we'll get to them in a second. Mercedes is just a midfield team. It's like where Alpine used to be, right now.
Right.
Just P5, P6. Good result for Mercedes. Whew.
Right.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody back at the factory for getting us P5, P6. Fucking pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. But we'll get to them in a second.
Yeah.
I really can't stand Esteban Ocon. I cannot stand him.
The way
he celebrates like a like he won the Super Bowl when he gets to Q2.
That
I could almost excuse. But then he goes slower in Q2 than he did in Q1 because you know what? Right. Beat Pierre, and that's all he gives a fuck about.
Yeah.
He gets knocked out in Q2, and then he just goes, okay, you know, you do what you can. Yeah. And it's like, because he doesn't give a fuck. All he wants to do is beat Pierre.
Yeah.
And I was just really upset. Like, who celebrates like that, getting out of Q2 when you're a manufacturer, and you're fucking the people of France. Like, this is the French-owned team. You're representing your fucking country, and you're just whooping like a fucking idiot. Have some respect.
Yeah.
I get it. You're fighting for your career, right?
Right.
You want... I like, inside, he can be coming, but don't broadcast it.
Yeah.
You should be pissed that you're out in Q2. This is unacceptable.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he was.
And to go slower in Q2 with the track evolution, it's because you're like, well, I beat Pierre, and now I can just fucking take Q2 off. That's what's happening.
I'll start in 15th. I don't give a shit. Whatever.
Exactly.
Who cares? I beat Pierre.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a mess. They came together. They hit. Bruno. They're just so slow. It's crazy. I mean, the car doesn't pass the eye test. You look at it and you're like, that looks fucking slow. Like, it just looks slow.
It looks different. The nose is so drastically big.
It's crazy.
Yeah. You know it's bad when you and I could tell the difference. I'm like, whoa, that's a big clunky looking fucking car. That needs to go on the Trump Ozempic plan, that car.
That's right. Needs. Yeah, that you start injecting Ozempic to the tires, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking, you know, change your appetite.
Well, it was overweight. It's literally that car was overweight.
Right.
Yeah.
And Bruno Famine, I'm just so horny also for Bruno Famine, like, after last year, you know.
Just another management guy.
Yeah, and
just
like,
another fucking bureaucratic creature, just... being like, I know how to fucking manage.
Yeah. Dancing on Otmar's grave and then fucking like taking credit for what Otmar built. Like getting, you know, Pierre gets the podium and he gets to think that like he did something to make that happen. It's like, no, you didn't do shit. Actually, this is what your management looks like. 2024.
Yeah.
A joke.
All right. So qualifying.
What the fuck else? Yeah, qualify. I mean, Yuki and I want to say one thing about Daniel Ricciardo. I think all things, I know, like, it was the race was tough for him, but I think overall not that bad a weekend for him.
Yeah, he was closer to Yuki in qualifying.
I mean, he was like 0.05, you know, he was like 0.05 of a second closer to Yuki. And then, you know, he had the crash. The crash was, you know, his fault.
It was his
certainly
fault.
Not Albon's fault. Definitely his fault.
I like to think he saw Stroll and he was like, oh, fuck, here he comes. And he was very preoccupied with Stroll.
Yes.
Because Stroll in an opener, in the opening laps, you're very... because you know Stroll's not looking.
Right. Yeah, he's not looking in his mirrors. So
I think he's not, because if you, you know, at first you thought, oh, you know, he was making room for Stroll, but there was plenty of room. But I think he was leaving more allowance for Stroll.
Yeah.
I think he was overcompensating because it was Stroll. I think if it was like Lewis or something next to him or somebody that he trusts a little more.
Right.
I think we're overestimating or underestimating how much Daniel Ricciardo was scared of him specifically.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there's a few of those guys.
Yeah, Stroll, Magnussen, just guys who are, you're like, oh, fuck, I don't want to be anywhere near this guy. I want to leave
George Russell.
Just guys you don't want to fuck around with.
George Russell going after Piastri was crazy, dude.
I'm like, can you just finish a race, dude? Can you just finish a race? Piastri also doesn't. He's also one of those guys who doesn't give a fuck either.
Right.
He won't move. He's like, and his blood, his BPM, that BPM never going above 60.
Well, after he ran him off track, Piastri says he didn't give me anywhere to go in the chicane. I had to cut.
Be fucking for real.
He gave me nowhere to go. I had to cut. So completely, I mean, unaffected.
Looking for his vape.
Meanwhile, George is in the car, like literally, like seething at the mouth.
Yeah,
like looks like a fucking rabid animal in that helmet. I bet.
Yeah. Oscar.
But I think, like, I just think, you know, Ricardo, it's not, you know, it's been a rough start. There's been these rumors that like Red Bull's ready to fucking, you know, toss him out the seat and put Liam in the seat. And certainly when Ricardo was out and then he was like sitting at the fucking, he was at the monitors and then like Liam was like right behind him in that shot, I was like, oh, there he is. Like, he's just waiting in the wings, ready to kill you, dude. Just ready to take your seat within a fucking moment's notice. But I think overall, like, actually not that bad. At least he was on the pace with Yuki. At least he was on the pace in qualifying with Yuki.
Yeah. And he's doing this thing where he's like, wants a new chassis.
Right.
It's weird because he wants a new chassis. It's like a little bit out damn spot.
Yeah.
It's never good when you want a new chassis. The last time I heard about this, I remember Mazepin wanted a new chassis.
Right.
That was the last time we heard about it. He's like, it's chassis. It's not. There's a couple of grams difference in weight, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But now it's like you made this whole stink about a new chassis, and now you're 500ths off. So wait, was it the chassis? Because now it seems like the chassis is fine. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. It doesn't speak highly of.
No, it's
of where he's
at. I know, he's in a tough spot.
Mentally.
He's in a tough spot in his career. It's like it's looming, because I think if he doesn't pull it together like midway through the season, they'll pull the trigger. They'll put Lawson in the seat. Like if
maybe China, honestly. China. I mean, at least he qualified closer, but it's just it's not good. It's not good.
Yeah.
But what happened? You know, what do we do with Yuki? You know, if he keeps beating him, like what happens? What happens with our
boy? Give him the fucking Red Bull seat.
Give him the Red Bull seat. No, I don't know about that. I don't know about that, man. I think it's boring. It would be nice just because, you know, we're so bored. We just want to see new shit. Just why not? Yeah. Throw Carlos in there. Throw Nando in there. Just throw anybody in there. But if you're Red Bull, it's like, I mean, we say different things every week, but, you know, Perez, it's just like, if he just does this every week, 15 seconds off the pace from Max, good enough.
Yeah.
Good enough.
Yeah. Second place.
Second place.
That's second place. Good enough.
Good enough. Keep the seat. Although, it was weird because when Christian Horner came on the radio, he's like, you know, I guess it seems like they had a bet going.
Oh, with Max?
With Checo.
Okay.
It's like, I needed more motivation, blah, blah, blah. I think there was like some kind of allusion to a bet that Checo bet Christian that he could get on the front row in qualifying.
Mm.
I'm like, that's never a good sign where you're like betting against your employee.
Yeah, so
I was just like, hey, Jenny, I bet you $500 you can't edit this podcast by tomorrow. Like, does that show? Does that show a lot of? I mean, you're trying to encourage them. I get it, but it's like
right.
That's not a great starting point, you know.
Jenny's like, I'll take that. I'll take that, man. Thank you. That's what I do, fucking anyway. But you know what's kind of unthinking with regards to Checo? That, like, if he just sticks around, if he just keeps getting second place, is, like, with a little bit of luck, is there a world where, like, all of a sudden it's, like, getting down to the wire, Max has, like, a crash, or Max has another tire blowout, or some I mean, it's not the if Checo really is continuing to, like, get in that second spot, like, and something happens mid-season and, you know...
Yeah, but that's been his problem.
But he's been consistent. But now, right now,
right,
he's
because he's not trying. This is the fucking.
Yes,
because
he's not trying to beat Max.
He's not trying to beat Max.
Yes.
He's not trying to win the WDC. He's just trying to keep his seat. But once the fucking. Once the precious falls out, like once the ring. He's Gollum, right? Right now, he's Gollum, and he's happy to lead Frodo. Up the mountain.
Right.
But once the ring sort of slips out and he's like, then he starts acting crazy. But right now they're like, Gollum, he's like, you know, Sam and Frodo, like, where I will lead you.
Right.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
They've gotten Gollum to just be a helper and just help.
Right.
Help Max, who I guess is he's the least Frodo person that's ever Frodo'd. But,
Yeah.
But Max, I guess, is Frodo in this shitty metaphor. Mm-hmm, the problem is once you get a whiff of the precious, it all goes tits up. And that's been, but he's been good the last couple of days, last couple of weeks, right? He's just been.
Right.
But if Max is vulnerable, he's going to.
Well, you know, it's like it's you know, in Australia, Max was out and he was only able to get P5. Now,
that was because he qualified poorly. That was before.
He qualified poorly, and it also seemed like Red Bull was a little bit like off. They didn't really understand what was going on with their car in Australia. But what's also interesting with the Perez thing is that it's like his way towards actually potentially winning the WDC is not by just beating Max. It's by like hanging around and then
picking up
cleaning
the pieces.
Up scraps if there are any, picking up the pieces. And like that's actually the mentality where he's going to cruise into being second place and not be like battling in the last race. You know what I mean? Like he will cruise into second place and who knows if with a little bit of luck, maybe actually have a chance at fucking, you know, winning the WDC with a lot of luck. But still, that's the way to actually do it, not by like trying to go toe to toe with Max, by literally like being in his slipstream and trying to get lucky.
Yeah, it's just tough mentally to do that. To just you've been an alpha your whole life.
Right.
And they're like, "Okay, so the only way that you're going to survive is you got to carry this guy's water and be a beta."
Right.
You know.
Yes.
That's
right.
I mean, speaking about like switching to beta, I mean, Lewis Hamilton today being like, "Do you want to switch?"
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
"Yeah."
It was like a Santa finding out Santa isn't real. I was like, "What the fuck is going on?"
Yeah.
You know, I'm Jewish. I never believed in Santa, but that was like, I was like, "Lewis, what are you doing?"
Yeah.
What is happening right now?
He doesn't care, dude. If anything, I read that as like a power move. I was like, does George want this shitty place? Sure, whatever. He can have it.
I mean, Lewis fans are really tying themselves in knots. They're like, he's tinkering with the setups. He's doing this. He's doing that. He doesn't care. And it's just like, what does George have to... there's literally nothing George could do at this point.
No.
There's nothing he could do, really.
No.
To convince Lewis fans that he has the upper hand. This is the kind of... world we live in right now. Sports, politics. By the way, there's nothing George could do to me either that could convince me that he's a better driver. I'm like, Lewis is checked out. He doesn't care. You know, he's looking at pictures of Roscoe in the car. He's, you know.
Yeah.
He's looking at property in Maranello. whatever the fuck he's doing, he's not racing, which is really kind of depressing that, you know, that George is doing well and it just doesn't, just half the fan base doesn't care. But let me just hold you to that for a second. Let me just take what you're saying, because I believe it too.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, he doesn't care. And maybe this is just a healthier way to be. It's like, okay, you know, I got to marshal my energy and my resources for next year. Right. And it's like, what's the big fucking deal? Also, he might be, I know he's usually more conservative with his tires, right? He's like, oh yeah, this guy, he's going to blow his load. You know, he's going to come too quick and I'll be there to pick up the pieces.
But
he let George through, and then they gave George the undercut. They gave George a better strategy. So it's like, ah, that sucks, because Lewis qualified better. He was ahead.
Right.
When you stay ahead, when you're ahead, you usually get the preferential strategy. So Lewis, but it's just like, when you're trying to be the GOAT, you can't be losing to teammates. Like, this is just going to be a fucking thing that people point to. Or is that just an exhausting way to live?
Ovenkas, this episode is brought to you by June Shine, baby. You might have seen June Shine around. They might be your go-to adult beverage. You know what they're famous for? They're famous for the hard kombuchas, right? But guess what? They're doing cocktails too now, baby. And June Shine makes the best canned cocktail on the planet. Most specifically, this week we're talking about the June Shine Tequila Margarita. They're next level and they start at 10% alcohol, baby, okay? That's 1.5 to 2 shots. But you get it in a can. Gotta love it! They're made with real spirits and real fruit and taste incredible and have no added sugars. They're insanely delicious. They're light and refreshing. The buzz is legit with that 10%, and they're ridiculously convenient. No mess, no stress, no BS. It's in a can. You gotta love when it's easy and it's just in a can. You pop it, it gets the little kick, and then you drink it. We're doing it with that June Shine Tequila Margarita, okay? Honestly, I've been drinking June Shine for a while. I love I love a little kombucha moment. I love kombucha. It helps with my gut. And so whenever I have the experience of when I'm drinking a June Shine, I think like, oh, I'm being a little bit healthy. And that's just like, that's good for me in my soul. So that could be fucking you too. They're a total crowd pleaser. Everyone loves drinking them. They're great for the summer. Summer's coming up, baby. We're getting that summer body. We're getting it going. Spring is coming. The sun's coming out. It's starting to get a little warmer. Time to get your June Shine, okay? June Shine can be found in over 10,000 stores across the country. It's available in retailers you are already visiting from groceries and alcohol, like Whole Foods, Target, Ralph's, Vons, Albertsons, Trader Joe's, Kroger, Wegmans, Total Wine, BevMo, Safeway, and more, baby. They're everywhere. And they're also on the Red Flags podcast. Head to juneshine.com to find where their margaritas are near you, baby. Okay, now back to the show.
Today's episode is brought to you by Yahoo Finance. Look, you've saved, you've researched, you've invested all that you can. Now you need to take a look at the investments and how to take those to the next level with Yahoo Finance. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're an experienced investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and the data you need in one place. The number one finance destination to give a holistic look at the financial news. Listen, in terms of wealth, I'm not Lawrence Stroll or Toto Wolff yet, but with Yahoo Finance, it's helping me get there. I can see how the markets are doing and find out more about certain stocks and get the latest financial news. Yahoo Finance is where I learned after Ferrari announced Lewis for 2025, the stock price went up more than 12%. Increasing their market cap by $10 billion. I'm basically a stock trader. That's how Yahoo Finance makes me feel. For a comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com.
I think it's an exhausting way to live. And I think about Lewis in this point of his career, similarly kind of like to how LeBron plays basketball now. Like, if you watch LeBron, like, he's, you know, in his late 30s, and he's, like, he just takes plays off. Like, he's just, you know, he'll just, you know, and then, but then when it's time to sprint and time for him to fucking get in there, he'll do it. But, like, you pick and choose your spots.
But if he cares about the Michael comparisons,
yeah,
Michael's not losing to teammates like this.
I know, but the way he, but he's like not concerned. The way that he wants to beat Michael, the people that are not going to fuck with, will always say Michael, will always say Michael, regardless.
But what, that's just going to give them more ammo.
But he, I mean, Michael lost to fucking Nico Rosberg like towards the end of his career. Like it wasn't necessary, you know. He like as when he got older,
right?
When Michael was in his at the, around the same age as where Lewis is now. But like, you know. The way that he actually beats Michael is if he gets the eighth. So he's like, I'm not going to bother myself trying to, like, you know, keep up with the Johnny Hustle over here. You know, that's what it is. Like, fucking George is like diving for every loose ball, and yeah. George is fucking like, so, they're down by 20, but myself. George is still.
I'm going to hurt myself trying to keep up with this kid.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I remember when we were, I remember this when this was like, I don't even know if this actually happened, but in my, I have this burned in memory of us from childhood. And it was like, we were playing middle school basketball and we were like getting our ass kicked. And it was like the last couple minutes of the game. We were maybe down 10 or 12 and I was, it, but like I was in and our whole team was kind of like, all right, like we lost this one. Like let's just wait this out. And I was playing, I was like, come on, guys! And I was playing like lockdown, lockup defense. And I remember being so mad that like the rest, like you and Adrian and Billy, like everyone was just kind of like, all right, like we lost. Let's go, you know, let's go hang out with our girlfriends because you all had girlfriends and I didn't. And so I didn't have anything else. So I needed us to win. So I was like, come on, guys! And I was like playing lockdown D. And like, that's George. George is like, come on, guys, we can get the most out of this weekend. And Lewis is like, I mean, this is, oh, I mean, what's the even point of getting out of bed, right, guys? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, it was iconic when he did say, oh, it was one of my favorite moments of the race when he goes, change this strategy.
That was iconic.
And then they just did it. And then they just didn't. They just lied to him. They're like, yeah, we're going to, but, you know.
Right.
I don't know how much they respect his strategy.
Right.
He's pretty passive when it comes to accepting strategy. Him and Max, they don't mm-hmm. really get too... They put up mm-hmm. a fight, but they ultimately listen. Whereas I got to say, I was kind of impressed. I mean, we'll get into... Leclerc had a signsy race today.
He did.
He had a signsy race. He was like, you know what?
They swapped positions.
Leclerc was like, you know what? I'm going to make it work on the mediums, and I'm just going to like hang out and save. Yeah. And I qualified like shit.
Yeah.
This is Sainz fans. This is what Sainz, for all the memories you repressed of him just qualifying like shit, this is what he did every week. And this is why he finished close to Leclerc. Leclerc would put a great qualifying lap in, qualify where the car was supposed to be, and then Sainz would do some nifty shit.
Yeah.
Great strategy, great tire maintenance, and then he'd show up right behind. He'd end up right behind Leclerc. And you'd be like, how the fuck did Sainz qualify ninth? And end up here because he would do some crafty shit. And I was very impressed with Leclerc's tire maintenance and his ability to call his shot and be like, you know what? I'm going to do this. This is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite parts of the race was when Leclerc said, how many people in front of me have to pit? And they said, everybody. And you could just feel Leclerc just coming in his pants. He was like, for the first time in his life, for the first time in his strategy. Fucking life, he it's like, I remember there was those these like little Tykes commercials when we were kids, and you'd see like a kid walking around in his diapers, and there was these songs that would say, there was a kid singing, I'm a big kid now. And it was like, was his, I'm a big kid now. Like, I fucking, I qualified poorly and I cleaned up my mess by myself.
Yes.
I was a man.
Right.
I fucking took responsibility for my mistakes, and I didn't fucking leave it to fucking Zavi, whoever the fuck, to dig me out of this. I did it myself.
Right.
I was very proud of him.
Yeah.
Now we have.
It was a great. I mean, yeah.
It was a great. It was a hey. Science had a better weekend. But I'm so sick of this week to week bullshit. I'm so sick of all this fake news.
Yeah.
Science has two good races, and all of a sudden he's better. First of all of a sudden he's better than Charles Leclerc and Lewis Hamilton. Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, yeah.
Fake news stories. They're fake. Just like this Vettel going to Mercedes. Like,
everyone shut the fuck up.
It's like, are we so out of things to talk about that we're actually going to entertain this for a minute? Do we remember the last? Yeah. Guess what? Remember the last time he was in a good team was Ferrari. Leclerc ran him out on a fucking rail 4 years ago when he was 4 years younger, and and probably gave more of a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And he beat Stroll by when he was at Aston Martin, he beat Stroll by I don't know, 0.2. Alonso's put 4 or 5 tenths on him.
Yeah. No, they would trade a bit more when Vettel and Stroll were together.
This is so not happening. And anybody who talks about this is just pisses me off.
Well, it's people that it's the kind of there's the delusional Seb fans who are out there and who are aplenty who just kind of we want Seb back. It's like you think that it's been 2 years now that he's been out, right?
Yeah,
was last year the first year that he was out? You think he's is he still in fucking racing shape? I don't think so. He barely seemed in racing shape, but he was towards the end of his career.
I mean, just be happy he's got 4 championships, which seems like a lot.
Yeah.
He just seems like
when he was young and hungry.
Well, no, when you compare him to someone like Alonso, who has 2.
Right.
It just seems like a lot of championships.
Yeah.
For the caliber. He's a very good driver, but is he twice the amount of championships as Alonso and three-quarters or whatever, 2/3 of the championships of Lewis?
Mm-hmm. No.
Maybe Mick Schumacher will come back, too. He's... You know, Toto has relationships with him, too. He's also...
Yeah. Honestly, I think it would be... If Toto puts Antonelli in the seat, I think it's a baller move. I'm like, that's a good aggressive move from Toto.
Well, you know, it's not that much pressure. It's a midfield team. Not much expectations. Right. I mean, seriously, literally. It's not. It's
crazy.
It's crazy how midfield they are.
They're Alpine last year. That's what they are.
They are worse than McLaren and Fernando Alonso's Aston Martin.
Right.
Yeah, they're worse than their two customers. They're worse than two of their customer teams. Pathetic.
Yeah.
And for...
Right now they're in fourth with 34 points. Aston Martin's in fifth with 33 points. So that is up for grabs.
No, that's pathetic. With one fucking car. No, Aston Martin has a better car. Aston Martin has a better car.
They have a... Exactly.
Because Mercedes has a better driver lineup.
Do they have a better car? Because... 1 second, let me just pull this up.
Alonso's been saying
it's unbelievable how bad on the speed we are on the streets, man. We're in a different category, man. That's why this sport is really the greatest thing ever. The television programming is just next level. Yeah. You get to hear a billionaire's son on his car radio squealing about how bad the car is.
He sounded laughing, though. He was like, it's a different category.
He was like, fucking, yeah. what the fuck do you want me to do with this fucking shit?
It was giving, I asked my dad for the turbo engine in my Porsche, and he didn't give me the turbo engine. And I remember there was this kid we went to school with, and his dad gave him a Porsche, and I was just like, fuck this kid.
Yeah.
That kid sucked. But he didn't even seem, yeah, he seemed like he was laughing. He seemed like throwing his hands up.
Right. No, he's exhausted by that, I guess. Yeah, I mean,
Some people were speculating that he had more wing on his car.
Mm.
Because, like, he's just not as good a driver. Like, Nando can handle less wing.
Right. Because
he can make it work. So he can have more straight line speed. But less downforce. Whereas, like, if you give Lance less downforce, he'll fucking put it in the wall. He needs the he needs the training wheels.
Right.
But that was sick when they put him on the softs and he was just fucking sending it.
Sending it. There were a bunch of really great overtakes. I mean, Yuki had a bunch of great overtakes.
Yeah.
On the fucking S's, had a bunch of great overtakes. This race was actually pretty great. Like,
interesting strategy stuff, winning, which was Red Bull won too. My brain. But didn't understand McLaren bringing Norris in when they brought him in.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, we got to cover Russell. I was like, how is Russell a factor in this? Like, I feel like McLaren fucked up the strategy for Norris. But I don't think it was on for Norris in terms of like catching signs. Didn't feel that way.
Right.
I feel like Ferrari had a better race car, and Norris just did well in qualifying. Maybe qualified a little out of position.
Yeah, exactly. No, he qualified ahead of where the car actually was. I think Norris kind of like wound up in the place where he was ultimately maybe supposed to. Though, you know, there was this kind of looming threat last year of Oscar, and so far we haven't really seen it this year. Last year, Oscar was like putting a little bit more pressure on Lando, and this year, like
he actually had more points than him coming into this race, but. I'm pretty sure he had more points than him coming into this race, but this was a bad race for Oscar. He was pretty close to him in qualifying, I gotta say. But you know, the gap is so close now. I mean, between not Red Bull but the other teams. You know, if you're
right,
you know, half a tenth off, that could mean a place or a couple places. So, but he was very far off from Lando. He made a couple.
17. He finished the race 17 seconds behind Lando.
But that was partially because he was just eating Nando's ass the whole. He was just human centipeding Nando. Just stuck behind him.
Well, Nando and Nando just fucking pulling a Carlos Sainz.
Yeah, right. Just
keeping Piastri in the DRS range to stave off George.
Oscar just gets stuck behind some fucking guys sometimes. I think he often gets stuck behind Nando, whereas Norris just. Is able to qualify a little better, get in front of Nando, and not have to deal with that nightmare. And then he's just in clear air.
Norris is just in clear air because he's competing with the Ferraris and the fucking Red Bulls. So he's just like, oh, like I'm just alone here.
Yeah, he has
like,
his own race. Like, he's kind of dancing with myself, myself. But I mean, he kind of is dancing with himself because I mean. Oscar didn't really challenge him. I think that the degradation of this is a high deg track, and he hasn't worked it out. I mean, how many years do we give him before it's like? I don't think we ring the alarm bells yet. But how many seasons?
Yeah,
is it three? Three seasons?
I mean, he signed up till 26, right? So I think, like, certainly McLaren will have a moment where they're, you know, by then they'll have to decide. But he's still solid. Like, he's never bad. It's just whether he's, like, it's a question of, like, is he a future champion? Is he, like...
Like I said before, who has Lando... Lando's been on podiums. He's put that McLaren high up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really like look at it, like in terms of like who have these guys beaten, it's who has Lando beaten? He's beaten Daniel Ricciardo and a young Oscar Piastri. So it's like, I would like to see Lando head to head with George Russell or,
yeah,
Carlos Sainz now, or just somebody who we know is very good.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really, I just, you know, it's the same question you have with Alex Albon, right? It's, you know, it's.
But it, not, yeah. Yeah, it, yeah.
Look.
Who have you beaten?
Who have you beaten? Lando has.
We don't have that question with Yuki because Yuki's beating Daniel Ricciardo.
Yuki's beating Daniel Ricciardo. Well, if Lando's claim to fame is that he beat Daniel Ricciardo and that makes him great, then we have to apply that same logic.
By that logic,
we have to apply that to
Mr. Tsunoda.
To Mr. Tsunoda. I think a lot of it's fucking branding, dude. I just think it's marketing, it's branding. There's like a wunderkindness to Lando. Lando gives wonderkind. Boy wonder.
He does.
There's a boy wonderness to him. He gives phenom. Yeah. He gives phenom.
He gives Mozart a little bit in Amadeus. He kind of is giving Mozart and Amadeus.
And Oscar gives Salieri.
It's me. Yeah, exactly. should we get into our awards? Let's do Daddy of the Day.
Honorable mention, Daddy of the Day has got to be Yuki Tsunoda's father. Silver Fox.
Wait, I didn't see him.
Fashionable as fuck. Had great fashion. Great. Yuki's going to age like fine wine. Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
100%.
Daddy of the Day.
Oh, yeah. Look at this guy. Yes, dude. I'm obsessed. Yeah. Oh, this is great. There's a picture of him with, this is from a couple years ago, but there's a great picture of him with Pierre's parents. With like Yuki's parents and Pierre's parents. That's cute. That's cute to think about them hanging out. That makes me happy. Okay. Yeah. I mean Yuki's a potential daddy of the day. Honestly, I'm gonna give it to Leclerc for all the reasons that we said. That Leclerc, this was a not a tantrum day. He manned the fuck up today. And he had a Carlos Sainz hair on your chest. Bring home the fucking bacon. Nothing special. Nothing to see here.
Lunch
just
pail
doing
day.
The work day.
Yeah, lunch.
Lunch pail day. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. He did. I don't think we've ever given Charles Leclerc Daddy of the Day. I mean, someone can look into that, but I don't think we've ever seen him in that light. That's not really where he sits in my brain.
Yeah,
today was actually.
Yeah, he came home at the end of the day, and nobody got up to greet him. Nobody said, "Hi, Dad." Don't all get and
yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
My dad, when he came home, and he was like, "Don't all get up at once." Dad loved to say that. You know, it's that because you remember when you're young, your dad comes home from work, and you're like, "Dad," and you run and you say hi. But then when you get to like 15, you just kind of stop doing it.
Right. You're like, "Hey, asshole, what's up?" And then he's like, "This is what I do it for." Yeah. Fuck you. Yeah, I'm going to give it to Charles Leclerc.
Yeah, Leclerc's a good one.
For that reason. Hottest moment of the day.
Yuki fucking overtaking on the S's.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
And Lando getting also, Hamilton was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Lando fucking sent it on Hamilton.
Checo in those high speed had a couple overtakes on those high speed corners on, you know, what do they call it? There's like a name for it.
The Degnas.
130R.
They're the best names.
At 130R.
Spoon curves.
Yeah.
Degna 1 and 2. 130R.
Yeah,
I love Japan.
Yeah, Japan's the fucking shit. Karen of the day. A lot of people, I'm looking on our Instagram right now, a lot of people are saying Ocon ratting out Pierre.
I mean, he did crash into
Pierre him. Hit me. Pierre hit me. Um,
James Vowles, getting a lot of James Vowles. Both those Alpine boys, people are saying. Toto post-race claiming the Merck had good data from this race.
I just say, I fucking hate Mercedes. And I just need to suck my own dick for a second. I said Toto was a fraud like a year and a half ago. I went way out on a limb. They suck so bad. Yeah. Just another one of their strategies that looked good on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's like, Mercedes going to do the one stop. No one else doing the one stop. Mercedes doing the one stop. And I'm not even mad at it, you know? I'm not even mad at it. They actually tried to do something different. But just getting beat by their customer teams and being upbeat on qualifying after qualifying, like sixth and seventh, just being upbeat. Like, what the fuck? Also, Toto Wolff. He was scheduled not to show up. I went off about this.
Right. Yes.
He was not supposed to be in Suzuka.
Yeah. Right.
And then he goes, you know
but
what?
He listens to the pod.
And listens to the pod. I was going off about how he takes breaks.
Yeah.
Went off about, you know, Fred Vasseur doesn't even remember what his kids look like, right?
Right. Yeah.
None of these guys take races off because it's their job to show up to all these races. Just like all of their employees show up to every race, they show up to every race.
Right.
And what kind of example does that set to people like Lewis Hamilton who are like, wait a minute, is this guy like fully committed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that might have crossed Lewis's mind when he was thinking about going to Ferrari. And then 100%. for him to like halfway through the week go, you know, I will come. I will.
Yeah. Literally.
Then you think that? No. You know what? Don't come. Don't come.
Right.
Toto, don't do us any favors.
Right.
Don't do us any favors. You know what? Enjoy your week in the fucking Swiss Alps or wherever the fuck you were going to go. Because don't do us any favors. You don't want to be here? Don't fucking be here. But this idea that it's like, well, I'm here, guys. I'm here. That's nobody wants that. Nobody wants that.
Right.
Nobody wants you to reluctantly be here or think that you being here is special.
Right.
This
was his quote. He said, I had planned not to come to Japan because there's so much on back in Europe, things to do. But then I felt not coming to Japan.
There's a festival I want to catch. You know, there's an art show.
It's spring now, so it's like the weather's kind of turning, so it's getting nice, but it's not
there's
overcrowded.
There's so
yet.
Much going on back in Europe. Did you know that Europe, despite being a small continent, Brian, has a lot of countries? Yeah. There's, you know, I'm from Austria, but there's Germany. You can check out lots of cool stuff to see in Germany. There's France. Yeah. There's a Louvre, but there's more than just a Louvre. There's lots of museums there that you could check. It's like there's so much going on back in Europe.
Lake Como is beautiful this time of year. So there's a lot going on in Europe. Yeah. He said, I think it's important to be with the race team also, for sure. It does me good also to be
Lake Como in April. Yeah. Doing my job, you know. On the one hand, there's on the one hand, there's fucking hanging out on my yacht in the Monaco Bay. On the other hand, it's like Como. You know, he also sees his wife more than most people because she works in F1. You know, like
right.
So it's like he doesn't even have the excuse of like I miss my wife and kids. Like because his wife literally
like
they travel together.
The traveling circus. Yeah. he said it does me good also to be close to the action. Not that close because he's never on the pit wall. He's in the garage, which I always find. It's like be on the wall, dude. Why are you in the garage? We were experimenting with a few things, and then being part of the team really gives me energy.
I'm glad it energizes him to do his job. That would suck if doing your job was fucking draining for you. I'm glad you get something out of it, dude.
Yeah.
Because what's in it for you? Because what I always think about is when I
have to optimize. Yeah. I have to optimize my happiness.
Hey, Brian. You know why I show up to this podcast? Because only because of what's in it for me, not because of my obligations to whatever. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Brian, can we wrap this up? Because there's a lot going on in the West Coast right now.
You know, in Europe,
there's a lot going on in LA, in San Francisco. Yeah. That's a nice, a lot of tech I could be in, looking into.
Investing.
Yeah,
see, we are experimenting with a few things, and then being part of the team really gives me energy. I hope the other way around too.
Insecure.
So that's why
we
I decided against staying in Europe.
Yeah, we love it.
Was it good for you too?
Yeah. Oh, you know what was Karen of the day? Was Karen of the day is when they told Esteban to push, and he's like, "I am fucking pushing."
Yeah.
It was giving. Is it in vibes?
Oh, sure.
Hey, it's in!
This is the end of the
this
line.
This is the end of the line. It's as deep as it goes.
Yeah, that was one of your earliest stand-up bits when you were doing stand-up for
I remember. That was like my first bit.
It was
she says like deeper. I'm like, what do you mean deeper? This is it.
This is the end. Do you think my dick has a crank on it?
Hey,
yeah, I can roll out more dick for you. No. This is what it is. Yeah. What you see is what you get. Yeah. Anyway, so that's why DeToto decided against staying in Europe.
For all these convoluted reasons, I decided to go to Japan because it was my fucking job. That's why.
It's literally my
it's
job.
It's literally my your job. He's such a putz.
Also, the whole summers in fucking Europe. The whole swath of
Brian,
this thing.
There's so much going on in Europe. He couldn't possibly do it all during the summer season.
Yeah. Dude, Gunter Steiner lives in the United States of America. Okay? There's four races in North America. There's what, like 8-10 races in Europe? Gunter Steiner was going to fucking Japan, then coming back to Charlotte, North Carolina, and then going to Australia, and then coming, you know, the travel.
Give Gunter the Mercedes job.
Dude. That would be incredible.
That would be such a clash of cultures.
Right, 100%.
Hey,
everyone
hey, those
in their fucking white
those bathrooms
down.
Would start looking like shit.
Yeah, those bathrooms would start looking like
I ate
shit,
too much
dude.
Chipotle and I blew out the bathroom in Mercedes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Mercedes' new sponsor, Taco Bell.
Oh, God.
Dude, give him the C. And now, yeah, whatever. Toto's now hoping that, like, that Kimi Antonelli is going to, like, you know, pull him out of this, be his, you know, savior, deus ex machina.
Well, it's going to be crazy if Kimi could get that seat, that sergeant seat, like, in, because he has a super license point. So if he can get the...
You mean mid-year?
Because he has super license points. He has enough super license points.
Right, yeah.
He just has to be 18. So when does he turn 18, Kimi Antonelli?
Wait, really?
Yep.
Is that a thing?
Yep.
Was Max younger than 18?
They changed
the
rules because of fucking Max.
Wow.
Cause
really?
Max is, yeah. Okay, so Kimi turns
18.
Yeah,
because it didn't work out with Max.
Well,
Max was such a failure.
Max was a hazard. And they were worried that Max
still would be.
They were also worried
he still would be if he was in a slow car.
Also, Max only was in cars for 1 year, whereas Kimi's been in cars for a couple years. So, washed is Kimi washed. So Kimi turns 18 August 25th. So it could happen in a couple months. Could happen at the.
That would be an aggressive. I would be obsessed with that if they did.
No, put Kimi in the sergeant seat. Get Sergeant out of here.
I just want to see the James Vowles video that they make about Logan Sargent after they kick him out of the fucking seat.
Dude, they already yanked him GTA style out of the out of the Albon's when Albon crashed.
So. Dude, when he crashed in FP, one or whatever, and then they were cleaning up his stuff, and they just had a garbage bag, and they were just cleaning up his pieces of his wing, and they were just putting in a fucking clear garbage bag. I was like, that is Logan Sargeant's career right there, just in a fucking recycling garbage bag that is transparent, so you can see it all like that. If that's not the fucking summary of this kid's fucking career. In F1, I don't know what is. Okay, radio of the day.
Got to be Stroll.
Got to be Lance. Yeah, it's got to be Lance. That was fucking
iconic.
Yeah, Lewis, should I let George pass? They're like a whole different category. that was incredible. Oh, what was that moment where Max and GP like had a bet on something? There was like
he was having understeer and oversteer. Yeah. He was like having problems with the car, even though he was winning. And then and he's like, that would have to do with the way the wing was set up. And then he goes, I'm not gonna say I told you so. Clearly, GP wanted it one way, and Max wanted it the other way. Max got his way, and now Max is complaining. And as I think Ted Kravitz pointed out, when you say, I'm not going to say I told you so, you're saying I told you so.
Yeah.
I just love, I think low-key, the two sassiest people in F1 are GP and Martin Brundle. I want those two to have a podcast.
Yeah. Mm.
GP and Martin, those are just the two sassiest fucks in the F1 paddock. Where was Martin Brundle today?
Yeah, he's I don't know. He's getting all, I don't know if he wants to do the full schedule. I know Crofty's also taking some races off. Like, I don't know how much longer. It's sad to think, but like how much, who knows? Maybe Brundle will do it forever, but I think he's just taking races off probably because the scheduling is is too brutal. These 24 races are brutal, but Toto still doesn't have any excuse. Okay, red flag of the day. I'm just going to give it to fucking Williams and their two chassis. I'm done hearing about the fucking two chassis.
You can give it to Kick Sauber and their shitty pit stops.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's I don't even think about that. I'm just like, oh, that's not even a Formula 1.
I mean, Bottas could have gotten – Bottas had a great weekend. He could have gotten points, too.
He could have.
I mean, he was really on for points. He qualified well, and he had like a 4-second pit stop.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, and so did Joe. Joe
had like,
I know he had failure, but he came in and then they were just like looking at the car. I was just like, what is going on?
I thought my TV had frozen. I was like, what is going on? Nobody's moving. What's happening? They're not touching the car. What is going on?
Yeah.
And Mercedes just being a midfield team.
George's dive bombing Oscar instead of being patient and getting DRS on the straight. That's so unreal.
George is perfect, and I hope he never changes.
He's such a fucking agent of chaos. I love him.
So is K-Mag, honestly. Also, I think K-Mag's out here just fucking making havoc every week.
Yeah. Also, this is going back, but hottest one of the day also was that pit stop moment and Yuki coming out on top.
Sneaking out in front of everybody. All the
yes, dude.
You know, that was like that amazing Ferris Bueller moment where he like gets away with it, where he throws the baseball and it hits the thing, and then the baseball lands back in the glove, and he's like, he made it. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, let's do fuck, marry, kill. Can we extend the real podium to third, fourth, and fifth at this point? Because it seems like a Red Bull 1-2 is kind of also inevitable.
Mm. Okay.
So, Carlos Sainz, Charles Leclerc, Lando Norris.
Marrying Carlos Sainz. Fucking Leclerc killing Lando.
Oh, wow. Interesting. I thought you were going to fuck Lando and kill Leclerc. This week, I'm marrying Charles Leclerc because this week he fucking had some hair on his chest and I liked it. And then I'm fucking Carlos and I'll kill Lando as well. How does this race hold up to the greatest race of all time, the Las Vegas GP?
It was not better, but it involved Yuki points, which the Las Vegas GP did not involve, which was a ding. I have
that's
to ding.
Yeah, that's one of the only things that was wrong with it. Yeah.
And Max won both of these, so I have to hold up against both of them. But it was very good. It's very good. Lots of strategy. I mean, I didn't know how it was all going to pan out, you know, with the alternate strategies. You didn't know how it was all going to unfold. You didn't know if Leclerc was going to hang on. You didn't know if you were wondering if George and Lewis were going to, if that strategy was going to work. You were wondering if Yuki was going to hang on. I mean, there was a lot of interesting storylines and seeing how the strategies were going to converge and play out. So I thought it was a very good race. It was not as good as the Vegas GP. I mean, you did not have Leclerc and Max battling it out on pure pace. Something that we have yet to see Carlos Sainz do.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm with you. It was pretty good, but no Vegas GP. But the fans, one more time for the fucking Japanese fans, baby.
Yeah. I mean they're better than the Vegas fans, that's for sure.
That's definitely for sure.
Yeah.
All right, you motherfucking Vankas. Well, we'll see what we do next week. We got the Chinese GP is next, but we're gonna have an episode in between then. All right, Vankas, go on with your little lives. We love you.